Everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? Why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Good singing, say amen right there. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for what He done for me. Hallelujah. All right. Everybody get your Bibles open now. We're going to get in the Word of God here a few minutes this morning. Let's take our Bibles and open to the book of 1 Timothy, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. I want to look at some scripture here in the Bible. This is the last Sunday of the summer. Isn't that something? Next Sunday, first day of fall, I believe. And it'll be getting cool before you know it. We got a lot of special things planned for the fall, so you don't want to miss out on it. Be here every single week. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to look at about near the end of the verse, pretty close, 14, verse 14, in your Bibles this morning, please. Everybody give me attention. Just for a few minutes now, 1 Timothy 3, verse number 14. You looking at it? Your neighbor don't have a Bible, share yours with them. And I want to show you an amazing verse of Scripture and then bring you the message. Look at verse 14. these things write I unto thee, Paul says to Timothy, hoping to come unto thee shortly. 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Isn't that an amazing verse? He said, I wrote this to you so you'd know how to behave in the house of God. A lot of people say, it doesn't matter how you worship, just as long as you're sincere. That's not true. A lot of people say, it don't matter where you go to church, just as long as you go somewhere. That isn't true either. There is a right way in the Bible to worship God and honor Him. There is a right way, and every other way, the wrong way. So, as you might guessed it from that verse, I'm going to preach this morning on how to behave in the house of God. Boy, we need a lesson on that, don't we? Need a series on it. A lot of kids need it. A lot of mothers and daddies need it. A lot of absentees need it. A lot of regular folks need it. We all need to know what the Bible says about how we should behave in the house of God. Now, quickly, I won't have time to get to it all this morning, but God has always in the Bible, Old Testament, ever, you check it, has always had a time and a place to meet with His people. It's always been that way. You look at it in the Old Testament, He said, I will meet you at a certain place at a certain time. Don't pay no attention to these people going around saying, well, I don't go to church. I just worship God out here on the riverbank while I'm throwing that. I bet you do. I bet you learn about a lot of Bible verses, and I bet you help little kids find the Lord and all kind of good stuff while you're out there on that riverbank. No, no, no. You can worship God on the riverbank on Saturday or Saturday evening when God has a time and a place to meet with His people. Do you know why we go to church on Sunday? Saturday's the Sabbath. Everybody always says we go to church on the Sabbath day. Starts Friday evening at 6, if you're in Jerusalem. It's not 6 here. Until Saturday evening at 6. We go to church on the first day of the week, Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. And the reason we do, because the Old Testament Jews worship God on the Sabbath day. They were pork abstaining, Sabbath observing, temple worshiping Jews. When Jesus came, Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week, on Sunday. The Holy Spirit came down on the first day of the week. That's on Sunday. The apostles in the New Testament met on Sunday and broke bread. They took up the offering on Sunday. So the New Testament church worships and honors God on Sunday. I used to get letters from this guy down in South Carolina, and he wrote and he'd call me all kinds of bad names and tell me I was a false prophet and everything because we went to church on Sunday. They believe that if you go to church on Sunday, you're taking the mark of the beast. And I said, well, I've had it, man, because we go about every day of the week. A lot of times I'm in church Monday through Sunday, every day. You ought to go to church when it's God's time for you to go to church. So let's think about it this morning. And the first thing I want to say is, everybody listening, you listening? You are to be in the house of God regularly. You are to be in the house of God regularly. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You are not, in other words, it means this. If you are able and your church is having church, then you ought to be at church. That's what that means. Now, God takes it into consideration. There's sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you may have to work certain hours to provide for your family. The world is geared toward that now, to making everybody work some Sunday. That's awful. It shouldn't be that. There are policemen. There are nurses. That have to do that. God takes that into consideration. But He said not to forsake. That means, you want me to put that to you in plain English? That means it's not right for me to sit at home and watch football when it's time for my church is having church. That's what that means. That means church time is not the time to go loafing. Church time is not the time to go to the mountains. Church time is not time just to goof off. Church time is time to go to church. Amen? They took a survey some time ago and they surveyed thousands of people. They said if both parents are faithful to church, 72% of their children will also be faithful to church. if both parents are faithful to church, listening, mamas and daddies, there's a 72% chance your children will continue and be faithful in church. If only daddy comes to church, there is a 55% chance that the kids will remain in church when they go, when they grow up. If only mom comes to church, there is a 15% chance those children will be faithful to church when they grow up. You realize, ladies, and men, you men realize here this morning the importance that you have as the head of your household to lead your family in the right way and be in the house of God. You say, well, I've got a lot to do. God gives you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to do what you need to do. It is God's will for us to be in the house of God regularly. Somebody said, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people that sure must love their church because they ain't been in a coon's age. Isn't that right? I'm telling you something, brother. I heard Brother Derek mention it in Sunday school. I asked the man, said, where do you go to church? He said, right down there at, I don't even know the name of it. You know, and where's that? What's that pastor's name? He said, I can't remember that new one. He's been there 5 years. He said, I just can't. That fellow just slipped my mind. That guy talking to me right over here in Nebo one time. I said, you go to church? You been going to church regular? He said, no. I said, you go last Sunday? He said, no, I didn't make it last Sunday. I said, what about Sunday before last? And he said, nope, didn't make it then either. I said, what about Sunday before that? He said, no. And I said, well, when was the last time you've been to church? He said, tell you the truth, preacher, I'm inactive. And I thought, well, that's a nice little Baptist word people have invented in this last generation, inactive, inactive. You want me to translate that? Backslid. But that's like saying a drunk has alcohol problems, you know, or that's like calling a graveyard a memorial park, you know. There's still dead people in there. And you're still just backslid if you don't go to church. Isn't that right? I'm telling you this morning, brother, you're not too good to stay home and you're not too bad to come. Nobody's too good that they don't need church and nobody's too bad that they can't come to church. The worst person, Morganton, needs to be in church. And the best person in Morganton needs to be in church. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to be in church regularly. We sure do. We need to plan. You listen? You plan your worldly events around your church schedule and not vice versa. I'm going to say this. I'm going to make some of y'all mad before I get through this morning. So you might as well just buckle up and get ready for it. And by the way, I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that didn't get under your skin once in a while. Amen? Amen. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Thank you. A preacher ain't no good. It don't smack you around once in a while. And if some of y'all going to get mad this morning, I can tell you right now, I'm prophesying. But I'm going to tell you, back when I first started preaching years ago, when it was vacation time, people would leave on Monday morning and they'd come back Saturday evening so they wouldn't miss their church and their Sunday school. Nowadays, it's absolutely unbelievably ridiculous that people that just loaf on Sunday and don't give it a second thought. You do realize God's keeping the records, don't you? Do you understand that God is keeping the record? Hey, preacher, don't fuss at me. I deserve it. I didn't say you didn't. I said, open your mouth, listen to me and say, let me tell you what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying you better honor God and put Him first. Everybody deserves a time off once in a while. I'm not fussing at you, but I am saying, listen, just loafing on God's day is not right, and plan to be back where you can be in church. And if you do get me gone, go to church somewhere while you're gone. Say amen. Right there. And you know that's right. And I know some of y'all sitting there saying, well, I'm guilty and he knows. Yeah, I know you are. And God knows you are. Don't get mad at me. It's not my fault you're doing wrong. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows the wrinkles in her face. I mean, it ain't the mirror's fault, man. I mean, get it right. Straighten up. Listen, brother, I believe in going to church. I believe in going to church when you feel bad. I believe in going to church. Let my girls, two of them sitting over there, one's backslid this morning. My girls, when they was little, they went to church. And there wasn't no arguing. If your kids get up on Sunday and say, are we going to church? You got major problems in your home. Somebody said, are you going to church? Well, it's Sunday, ain't it? Yes, we're going. My girls, I used to put them in. They'd be, you say, what for sick? Well, go anyway. Might as well be sick there. I'd lay on the couch, lay on the pew, and get my Tylenol or something like that, and let them tough it out. Amen. I heard these people say, well, I got a cold, and I don't want to give it to nobody. You couldn't care less if everybody died. You just don't want to go, and using that for an excuse. Ain't that right? 1, 2, 3. Now listen, you can dish it out to other people don't do right. You can take it like a man or a woman when you ain't doing right. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that didn't hit me once in a while. And we are fixing to do some hitting. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be in the house of God regularly. Our schedules are so messed up now. You say, preacher, I got to work to make a living. I got you. If you have to, you have to. Here's my philosophy. Anybody that knows me knows this. If you can, you should. If you can't, you can't. And that's how God judges us. If you can, you should. If you can't, you can't. If you can, you should. Is that fair enough? That's right. Some of you have a husband that fusses at you if you go to church. God takes that into consideration. Some of you have a wife that threatens to leave you if you even go to church. That's an awful shape to be in. And you need to just pray and do the very best you can, and God knows your heart. But hey, some of y'all, there ain't a thing in the world wrong with you except you just too backslid to get out of bed and come to church and then get back to the house of God Sunday night, Wednesday night. You need every bit we can get. The Bible said that we ought to get together the more as we see the day approaching. Amen? That's right. Lordy mercy, I ain't got time to get into all this morning. But I think you ought to go to church. I think you ought to be faithful. I think you ought to honor God. They say that a kid spends 25 hours, if you count 30 minutes, a year in Sunday school being taught the Bible. That's if you have your kid in Sunday school every time the doors open, every Sunday. 25 hours a year if you got 30-minute lessons in the Sunday school class. They spend 25 hours a week watching TV. They spend as much time watching TV being indoctrinated by this world as they do in a whole year in Sunday school learning the Word of God. We are in a fight over our boys and girls. We are in a fight for their souls and for their spiritual well-being. It takes us mamas and daddies. Listen, it is important that every man of this church see that his family is in the house of God. God will hold you men responsible for your family not being in church. Make every excuse you want to. Call it however you want to. Say you do. Listen, I'm telling you, God will hold you responsible for not having your family in church. You ought to be in the house of God regularly. You've heard me tell this. I was over in Asheville one night. We was over years ago and had to do some Christmas shopping. It was late because I don't ever go nowhere on Saturday night unless I have to. I stay home on Saturday night unless I have to go somewhere. You can't get ready for church out loafing all over creation. And I was in the mall in Asheville. It was cold. You know, Asheville's the coldest place in the world in the wintertime. That wind blows through there, boy, and I'm telling you, it felt like it's 20 below zero. And there's a lady come walking down through there. And I said, well, hey there, sister. Where have you been? She said, hey, Brother Danny. I said, I ain't seen you in church in a while. And she said, I'll be there tomorrow if I can get over this cold. I mean, she's 45 miles from home. After I walk around cold in blue blazes, and I mean freezing to death, solid concrete, and she'll come to church 5 minutes away if she can get over that cold. And that's where we preachers are hypocrites, and we have to smile and say, well, bless your heart. I hope you get over it. I hope you feel better tomorrow morning, sister. Listen, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you are to be in the house of God regularly. Now listen, if you can't, you can't. But if you can, you should. Number two, when we first get here, what do? You ought to sing with praise. Sing with praise. When we first time come in, do you prepare yourself? Do you prepare yourself for church? You should. I mean, the other night, we went over to Ralph Sexton's tent meeting over in Elizabeth in Tennessee. And Brother Wayne was up here from Florida, and Brother Wayne had never been to one of them meetings, and we took him over there, and Miss B, and we all went to that tent revival over there. And you know what? I told Kelly, getting ready, I said, you know what? It feels so weird to me to be able just getting ready and putting on a suit and tie, and I'm not preaching. It feels weird. I can't. And all the way over there, I felt, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel so light? And I thought, because I'm not preaching. I'm not. It's been a long time since I just got to just go to church. Y'all, you don't know. I ain't complaining. I'm doing my job. But y'all don't know what a blessing it is just to get up on Sunday morning and open your Bible and pray and say, Lord, I get to go to your house today. I get to hear preaching. I get to hear singing. I'm going to tell you something. There's thousands of them out there that would love to be here, and they ain't able. You better do it while you can. You say, well, I want to see the world. You better worry about seeing heaven when you leave this world. I can doesn't tell you about all the world. It's all the same. All the exits got a Waffle House. Hey, that's right. It all looks the same after a while. And Niagara Falls looks the same as it does on them DVDs you can get of it. I've seen it. I ain't going to go, brother. I ain't going to go loafing, waste my life when I could be in God's house worshiping Him. And you know what I did? On the way to church over, I thought, Lord, I want to worship You. I just want to go in there and worship You. I just want to go in there and worship. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Talking about going to church. I was over there last night visiting. Lord, you know, I got to lead Fred to the Lord. I got to lead Fred to the Lord about 2 years ago. One of the oldest men I've ever got to lead to the Lord. He was 80 when he got saved. And I don't know if y'all know this, but I'd been visiting Fred several years. Once in a while, just once in a while, I'd go by there on Saturday morning on visitation. And I'd go by there and say, how you doing, Fred? He'd sit there and I'd say, Fred, why don't you come to church tomorrow? I don't know. He'd be always watching a Western. He watched them old Westerns. It'd be John Wayne, black and white Westerns. Every time I went there, he's sitting there watching them thing. And old Fred was skinny, you know, and he didn't his blood wasn't circulating a lot, and he stayed cold. He had two or three sources of heat. Heat pump, little monitor, one of them old, had three sources of heat in that room. And I'd go in there and I'd about die sitting in there, and I'd talk to Fred and I'd say, Fred, you ought to come to church tomorrow. And I said, Fred, have you ever been saved? And he wouldn't say nothing. I'd say, Fred, have you ever been saved? And he wouldn't say nothing. I'd say, Fred, have you ever been saved? And he'd say, no. He's a shy man. Didn't have a lot to say. And I kept begging him and kept begging him. And I'd wait about 2 or 3 months and I'd go back again. And I'd go back again. And I'd go back again. And the Lord kept putting him on my heart. And I kept going back and seeing him again. And going back, and once in a while, Christmas or something, he'd come. And I'd say, praise God. I remember telling y'all, there's a man here this morning that ain't saved. Y'all pray for him. Fred never did move. But he didn't want to come to church. I didn't know this till last night. And Barbara told me. She said, Danny, I was just telling these people what happened with you out here one day about them keys. And I said, what happened? And she said that I was down there talking to Fred one day, and I forgot about this. I was down there talking to Fred one day, and Fred was really upset because he'd lost his car keys. And I said, Fred, come to church tomorrow. And he said, I can't find my keys. I don't know where my keys are. You know, it's hard to talk to somebody when they're upset like that. I said, well, sure would like to have you, Fred. He said, I can't come to church. He said, I can't find my car keys. I've looked all over the place. I told him I was in my pants pocket. I told him in there in my boots. I don't know where they're at. And I said, Fred, well, I don't know where they're at, but I sure would like to see you at church tomorrow. Y'all got another car. He said, I can't find my car key. And I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Barbara was telling this to her neighbor. I said, I'm going to get down here and I'm going to pray that you'll find them keys and you'll come to church. He said, all right. And I got down and I said, Lord, help Fred find his keys so he can come to church. And lo and behold, he walked outside and there they laid in the grass. And she said, Fred picked them keys up and came out. I said, I guess I got to go to church tomorrow. I told her, Fred. And I thought, that's the Lord working on him. That's the Lord. That's where the Lord... I love to see the Lord do little things like that. You know what? The Lord said, get in church, Fred. Go to church, Fred. Go to church, Fred. And you know it as well as I know it. Everybody in here knows it. 5 o'clock this evening, a little voice will say, you need to go to church, sir. You need to go to church. And you'll either say, yes, or you'll say, I need to do this. And it is quieter in a turkey farm yard on Thanksgiving Day right now. Gotta
go to church, people. You want God to bless you? Go to church regular. Be faithful. The very service you don't come might be when God's wanting to speak to your heart and bless you. We need to sing. When a man gets up here and says, let's sing. Brother Jason gets up here and says, 390, there's power in the blood. Every person in here, if you ain't got a book, look on with somebody else. If you know it, hand it to somebody else and say, would you be free from your burden of sin? You see them rock concerts and stuff they show on it. You don't see people when they get up there and here comes a bunch of fools out there, you know, and they say, we will rock you. Like that. You don't see them standing around there going like this, looking at their watch. They're all, we will. I mean, they're swept up into that demonic spirit and that power of Satan. But you look over here at the house of God, and there's somebody saying, well, you look pretty today. Here up here, man, trying to sing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to all sing together. God gets in it. You know how the devil gets in them rock concerts when they all start singing? God gets in our singing when we all start singing. Ain't that right? Amen. Let me say also, we need to give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. That's right. I'm going to tell you this morning, if, as one old preacher said, we wouldn't have to be begging the world to help God's business if His house wasn't being robbed. The Bible said, will a man rob God? If you're one of them people sitting here this morning say, well, I'll tell you, all them preachers preach about the money. You picked a good time to come, I tell you. We've been here 14 years, and I have preached 3 sermons on giving money. 3. I mention it once in a while. I have preached 3 times on giving. I probably should have been way more than that. It might be because you need it really bad. I'm telling you, they taught me when I first got saved. They said, Danny, 10% of what you make belongs to God's church. And I started doing it then, and I've done it this morning. And I don't know about you, but I'm paid up. My conscience is clear. I've given God what He asked me to give Him, and over that as an offering. How about you this morning? If you are stealing God's money, if God blesses you with $1,000 a week, and you refuse to give Him your tithe, you will never have God's blessings on your life like you could have if you would obey Him. And you, listen, He lets you keep 900, you little brat. Lord, I know some people, they're tied in a bark on a tree. They sing through their nose, keep them wearing their false teeth out. Are you sitting here this morning with God's money in your pocket? If He's blessed you, He said, I'll give you 10 dimes. I want one of them dimes. Don't give me this stuff of, well, the way I tithe is I'm good to people at work. And tithing don't just mean money. It means, oh, you don't know your Bible very good. It does mean money. That's what it means. And there would never be a need for the church that's not met. Everybody would do what they're supposed to when it comes to giving. If you're stealing the Lord from the Lord, you'll sit there and feel mighty uncomfortable right now. Well, I just don't know if He's in the Spirit. Well, I know you ain't. I know you ain't in the Spirit. I'm paid up. I don't know about you. I heard about a man named Willard Winter. He is a real estate agent. And he went in this little community, and because there's some people in there had some money, and he went into this community, and he began to... He began to work in there a little bit, and he decided to go to church Sunday. So he went to church Sunday, and the preacher got up, and he said, folks, we have a great debt. Our church owes a great debt. And he said, we got to have $800. That's a long time ago, a little bitty church. He said, we got to have $800 this week. He said, would anybody help us with this $800? Can anybody give any money? And everybody just sit there like this. And he said, can anybody give? We need help. Anybody give them some money on this $800? And everybody just sit there and didn't move. Finally, this real estate agent got up and he said, how much you need, preacher? He said, $800. He said, I'll take care of that. Everybody went, what? He gave the whole $800? All of it? And he wrote them a check, and they had a praise service, and everybody came around and shook hands, and they said, I can't believe you did that. You got our church over the hump. We made it because of you. And he said, I just want y'all to know, I just sold $30,000 worth of real estate here this last few days. You people sitting here acting like you're broke, and you just gave me $30,000 this week. And the very first sign that you know you're getting backslid is you start holding back on your money, what you're supposed to give the Lord. That's the first sign. That's the first thing you do. You know why? Because that book said the love of money is the root of all evil. There's going to come a time when that money ain't going to mean nothing to you. There's going to come a time when you'll say, I'm glad I did what you know what I think? I think everybody ought to leave the church something in your will. I believe that. I will. I am. By the grace of God, if the Lord ever calls me, I want part of whatever I got to go to God's house. I think you ought to put it in your will. Where would you be without the church? Where would you be? Where would you be this morning if it wasn't for God's people and God? You say, I'm going to leave it to my little brats. Fight over it. They'll be hoping you die pretty soon, too. Listen, it's all right to leave them something, but you do what's right with it, and God will bless you for it. You are breathing God's air. You are drinking God's water. You are. Some of y'all need a lot of catching up this morning. Preacher told me, he said, Danny, we've only got 30 or 40 in our church. And he said, our offering's like $900 a week or something like that. And he said, you know what? It snows one Sunday. And we don't get to have church. He said, the next Sunday, everybody comes back and are offering still $900. That means everybody that missed church that week thought they got a freebie. They thought, didn't have to go to church. God's still letting you breathe, ain't he? As a man over here in Lenore, I think it was, he got right with God, wrote a check for $6,000 to the preacher and said, preacher, I need to get caught up. I want my conscience clear. God's blessed me with a help. God's blessed me with a heart that beats. God's blessed me with a family. I'm going to honor God and give Him what He said to. You say, well, I can't afford it. You know how William Crowell, the fellow that started Quaker Oats, got rich? You want to get rich? Honor God. Colgate toothpaste, that man started paying his tithes when he started out. Procter, the ivory soap, same thing. Henry Delaney, resinol ointment. A.A. Hyde, that invented mentholatum for sore throat and all that kind of stuff. Baldwin, that made the locomotive industry. John D. Rockefeller, the first dollar and a half he ever made when he was a little boy. He said, I gave 15 cents to God out of my first dollar and a half. And he said, if I hadn't gave it on that first dollar and a half, I'd have never gave it on my first million. 15 cent out of a dollar and a half is the same percentage as 100,000 out of a million. That's right. Don't everybody shout all at the same time. I like the old preachers. They said one time, old preacher got up and boy, he's all excited. He said, folks, he said, we're going to get the busy here. We got to get going. He said, I say, let the church walk. And the old deacon got up over here on the front row and he jumped up and he said, yeah, preacher, let the church walk. And the preacher, he jumped up into second gear and he jumped up and he said, I say, brethren, hallelujah, it's good to be saved today. He said, let the church run. The old deacon jumped up over here and he said, yeah, brother, let the church run. And boy, he went in there, he got into third gear. And he went on up there a high hum. And he got out there and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, let's let the church fly. And the old deacon jumped up over here and he said, yeah, preacher, let the church fly. And he said, yes, sir, brethren, we's going to fly. And everybody's a hooping and a hollering. He said, now it's going to take a lot of money to fly. And the old deacon jumped up and he said, let the church walk. That's the way it is. Everybody wants the church to fly, don't they? The church don't fly on walking money. The church don't fly on walking giving. The first sign. I heard about a story. church trying to raise $6,500. And they were going to raise $6,500, and 3,000 of it have already been raised. They needed 3,500 more. And Dr. George Truett told this story. And he said they needed 3,500 more to dedicate the new church building. And he said nobody didn't give anything. And they needed $3,500. And finally, this little old lady in a plain print dress, she went over to her husband and said, Charlie, she said, you know, me and you got our house paid for. And she said, we was offered $3,500 for our little cottage. And she said, what would you think about us selling our little cottage and giving that $3,500 church to pay it off? And Charlie said, you know what, honey? I was just thinking the same thing. And they said, preacher, we want to sell our cottage. And when they said that, they said, we're going to sell our cottage and pay the church debt off. They said, people started crying. Somebody jumped up over here and started sobbing. Somebody jumped up over here and said, no, we can't let them do that. No, I'll give some. And somebody else jumped up over here and said, no, we can't let them do that. I'll give. You know what? I've been pastoring a long time. When people's heart gets soft, they have a giving spirit. I don't have to fuss and scream at you. You know what's wrong with a lot of you people? Your heart is hard as that piece of wood right there. You let the devil harden your heart. Listen, brother, with my heart, it's a joy for me to throw my tithes in there on Sunday morning when my heart's right. Glory to God, the Lord giveth, and I get to give back some to Him. You think of every dime you put in there. By the way, people started crying in that little church. They got the money paid. They didn't have to give up their cottage, and people started coming getting saved. Amen. Amen. That's right. This morning, that's what we do when we come to the house of God. Then I'll say this. Reverence the Word. You're doing pretty good this morning. Sometimes it's worse than others. Pay attention. When a man opens God's book, say, that's God's book. Forget your personal feelings and listen to the Word of God. I've heard preachers preach people I didn't even like. I've heard preachers preach that I'd heard bad things about. I just put it aside and I say, if the man's got something I need to hear, Lord, talk to my heart. There ain't no perfect preacher. There ain't no such thing. He said, well, I don't like the way he does it. I don't agree with what you better just shut up and say, God, whatever he's got good for me to hear, that's what I want to hear. I don't care if he's that high. I don't care if he's that high. I don't care if he's 8 years old or 100 years old. If God's put him in the pulpit, reverence the Word of God. Teach your kids that we sit up here in church and we pay attention. We don't play with games. We don't mess with our cell phones. We honor God while we're at church. And then we find out. I get on all these, but I ain't got time. We leave refreshed. Leave happy. I heard about one church, they had to start serving coffee at the end of the service to get everybody woke up enough to get home. Man said one time, he said, preachers don't talk in their sleep. They talk in other people's sleep. You know what? It's sad. You know how we ought to leave church today? Like students leaving a pep rally. Listen, brother. When them people leave them rock concerts, you know what they're at? They come out and say, let's go find something to break. Let's go tire up a motel room. Let's throw the air conditioner out the window. Let's bust something up. Because that spirit's got in them. And they're out there. That's a devil spirit. That's a counterfeit of church. You know what we're supposed to get in church? Filled with the Spirit of God. When we walk out of here saying, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm ready to serve the Lord. Can't wait till next time we do this. I'll be back tonight. That's the way we ought to leave the house of God. Not like, where'd we park, honey? You know, not like that. Lord, have mercy, brother. I'm going to leave like fans leaving a ball game. I guess y'all heard. I didn't know this till late last night. They just, them ISIS people over there just beheaded another journalist last night. Another one. And he's right, made a video of it and everything. And did you know, Brian mentioned something yesterday and he was right. Did you know in the Bible it says during the Great Tribulation, people that won't cooperate with the system is going to be beheaded. That's the word it uses. Beheaded. They're going to be beheaded. And I remember I used to preach that and I'd say, oh, in this sophisticated age, they'll probably just put them in an electric chair or gas chamber or something. But the Bible says beheaded. We're seeing it already. They're taking a knife that long, like you fillet your fish with, and cutting, that's hard, cutting through the gristle and the neck bone and breaking while them people's gurgling blood out their mouth. And here's some of y'all sit here, you don't even remember the last time you was hungry. You don't even remember the last time you went without an hour's sleep just to pray. God's been good to us here in this country. And if we don't appreciate it, we're going to lose what God... I know what I'm preaching is not popular. Here's what you do nowadays. You get up and say everybody's great, everything's wonderful, and get a praise and worship band, and wow, here we go. But I'm sorry, that ain't what you're going to get. We better get our hearts right with God, or we're going to lose what we've got in this country. That's how we ought to worship God. I want you to stand by your head for prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, and you need to get right with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to get caught up. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to make things right. But Jason will just lead us in some good old song. We'll just sing a couple of verses. We'll go. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You say, preacher, tell you the truth. I need to get right. Tell you the truth, I need to get right. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. People are praying.